This is Black Knight Meditations on WSCA 106.1. My email address, blacknightmeditations@msn.com. You can also reach me via phone, 603-430-9722, 430-WSCA. That was Swashbuckle with Cruise Ship Terror from the Back to the Noose LP. Interesting timing because just recently the 70,000 tons of metal cruise took place. It sailed out of Miami. And no, I was not on the cruise, unfortunately. You know, it's interesting, you don't really think of cruises and sailing the seas when it comes to metal. Well, maybe sailing the seas you do when it comes to the pirate metal, but I don't know, cruise ships and metal, it's you don't think they just go together, but some genius somewhere decided to create this idea of a cruise for a few days through the Caribbean with nothing but metal bands playing on the boat and the bands, you know, mingling with the fans, and that's pretty much everybody on the boat consists of were metalheads and the metal bands themselves. And this is something that had been in the works for quite a while, and I would imagine it sold out. I know it sold quite a bit. Something I had planned on doing. Of course I didn't. I miss every cool thing. I miss all the festivals in Europe, and I miss the 70,000 tons of metal cruise. Now, B&M's roving metal reporter, or in this case, floating metal reporter, Matt Bauer had attended, I don't even know if that's the right word. I don't think you can attend a cruise. Matt was on the cruise, the 70,000 tons of metal cruise, and he saw gazillions of bands playing. And I should point out, these are real metal bands too, not just, you know, loud rock bands or even the dreaded core bands or nothing like that. I mean, this is really great bands. Let's see, Matt saw, let's see, Agent Steel, Arsis, Blind Guardian, Blackguard, Circle to Circle, I mean, it's a Ferrum, Exodus, Ventrol, Rage, Nevermore, Moonspell. Matt, you suck. I just want to point that out, that, you know, going on a cruise ship alone is pretty damn cool, but a metal cruise and then seeing all these cool bands, I mean, Sanctuary is back together. Speaking of Sodom, you saw Sodom. I mean, it's not Arctica, they suck nowadays, but nevertheless, still, I mean, it's just a testament. I mean, even the Bathory tribute, Twilight of the Gods. Matt, you suck. I want the whole world to hear that you suck. You went on that cruise and I didn't, man. So okay, yeah. Let's just jump right into it. Before we get into the details and all that, did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was the trip of a lifetime, for sure.
And this coming from a guy who goes to Wacken every year and always has some sort of metal festival up his sleeve. And had you ever been on a cruise before?
No, I hadn't. The closest thing I'd been on, when I was in college, I did a trip to Scandinavia. And going from Denmark to Norway, it was just like a small overnight cruise, just a one-night thing. So that's the closest I had ever gotten to a cruise. So, oh. Yeah, this was my first official cruise.
See, I thought you were going to say you had been on a rowboat or something like that. All right, so let's set this up a little bit. I had mentioned that there's a 70,000 tons of metal cruise. You cruised out of, set sail from Miami through the Caribbean. I think you went to Mexico. Is that right?
Right, to Cozumel.
And the whole cruise lasted about, is it 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, I believe it was like 5 days, 4 nights.
If you remember correctly, you were probably drunk the whole time. So let me guess, you bought your tickets well in advance, because I think this thing sold out, or at least when I checked, a lot of the cabins were not available. So how far in advance did you buy your tickets for this cruise?
Yeah, it was pretty far in advance. Actually, a couple friends of mine had registered, even I think before tickets were on sale, there was a registration process. And they registered, and they were one of the first 50 people to register. And we ended up, we got a cabin, and then I signed on, and we got a fourth friend. So four to a cabin, get the cheapest price, which the cabins obviously ranged in prices. The cheapest ones, if you got four to a cabin, came out to $666 a person.
Purely coincidental, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Of course, that cost covers everything, right? You don't have to pay for anything while you're on the ship?
Right. It covers everything, all food, room service on board. If you wanted, if you ate in the dining, in the cafeteria, the dining hall, you know, it covered if you wanted juice or water. But, you know, if you wanted any kind of alcohol or soda, that cost extra. But pretty much everything else, it includes, so...
So you could go on the cruise without any money at all, and you wouldn't need to pay anything. I mean, how about this? Was there merch from the bands? The bands, were they able to sell merch?
Yeah, there was merch. There was a room on one of the decks solely for merch, and it was really convenient the way they did it. To get on the ship, you had what was called a Sea Pass, which basically looks and acted like a credit card, and you could either set up a cash account or just link a credit card to it, and then any purchases you made on the ship, whether it be alcohol or merchandise, anything of that nature, you just use the card. So it was very convenient, very easy to do, worked really well.
Okay, so you purchased your ticket for the cruise, the cabin, well in advance, and 666, like I said, very coincidental. But you said you chose a cabin that was four people to a cabin, and I imagine you were packed in like sardines in a can, right? I mean, it must be close quarters and four to a cabin on a cruise ship.
Yeah, the cabins are fairly small. The way it worked with four people, and from what I was told, there were only on the deck that we were on. There were 12 decks on the ship. We were on the seventh deck. The room that we had, there were two beds on the floor, and then there were basically two beds, one on each wall, that kind of folded out off the wall. So kind of like bunk beds to get four people to a room. But we were actually, we were upgraded to that room. That was an ocean view room that had a window we could see out. And the reason we got upgraded, we were one of the first 50 cabins that booked. So at Christmas time, in order to sell the cheaper cabins and try to sell it out, the promoters took the first 50 people to register, bumped them up to nicer cabins so they had the cheaper ones that would still be available to sell to people that hadn't booked yet.
Did I mention that you suck? I mean, I just... I want to reiterate that. So you even got bumped up to a nicer cabin. You know, four to a cabin is got to be kind of scary. But nevertheless, if you're on a cruise, you're there for the metal, not to hang out in your cabin.
Yeah.
So you book it, you get your tickets, you know, they're announcing bands, and the bands you saw, I mean, Unleashed, Uli John Roth was there, Tear, Saxon, Witchburner, great band, Corpiclani, Iced Earth, Gamma Ray, Destruction. You know, what's great about this is that I don't see any of the bands you saw. I don't see any of the trendy, like, MTV bands or anything like that.
Right.
None of those big names that sell a lot of records. I mean, this is all real true metal stuff, you know, underground bands. Witchburner was on the cruise. How awesome is that?
And they were great. It was, and that's the thing. I mean, first of all, like you said at the beginning, you just think about it. You know, just a cruise and a vacation. You know, cruise vacation. You know, is pretty sweet. But then you throw on, you know, the whole heavy metal theme, and you're going to have. It was billed as 40 bands on board, and so it gets even better. But then you look at the lineup of the bands that they got. And not only is it quality bands, but they were able to get a variety of stuff as well. Some of the bands I didn't see included Malevolent Creation, Marduk. So they still had black metal, death metal represented, folk metal, power metal, a lot of thrash metal. I mean, it was just great all the way around. Couldn't complain at all.
Oh, man, that's amazing. I mean, Agent Steel was there, Dark Tranquility. And when it comes to the underground metal scene, I mean, these are some name bands, so you're not getting a bunch of no-name bands. Blind Guardian, one of the biggest bands in metal, and wow. I mean, even to the unknowns, like Twilight of the Gods, which is one of the guys from Therfing. You've got Alan from Primordial in the group. And Twilight of the Gods, a tribute to Bathory, it's probably going to be the only opportunity you even see those guys. Because
right.
I doubt they're going to be playing over in the States anytime soon. I mean, even the long-running bands like Testament was there. And then you've got Uli John Roth, who's been around for about 800 years. Wow, all over the place. Okay, so, all right, so for those of us who didn't go, again, you suck for that. Basically, how was it set up? First of all, before we get into the setup, correct me if I'm wrong, the only people and the only things going on this cruise, it was solely metal. It wasn't like there was a metal part of the ship, right? It was just solely metal, just the bands, just the metalheads, and that's it, correct?
Correct, yep.
Okay. And so when it comes to all these bands playing over the course of like 4 or 5 days, were there live shows all over the ship 24/7? I mean, how did that work?
Yeah, for the most part, we left port of at Miami on Monday evening about 6:30 or so, and shortly after we had left and got out on the waters, the band started Monday night right off the bat, and it was similar to Valken in that You definitely, there were times where multiple bands playing at the same time. But the really cool thing about this was, and the unique thing, every band on board played two sets. So if you missed a band that, because you were seeing another band, you had another opportunity to see that first band.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you said there were 40 bands scheduled?
There were 40. There actually ended up being 42 bands total.
Okay.
If you want a couple extra right at the end. So.
Okay, and how many bands did you see?
I saw, 42. I saw 31.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just over 30 or so.
And again, for $666, you got a cruise for about a week. You saw almost 40 bands, over three dozen bands for that number of the beast priced. I mean, that's just, oh man. All right. Well, you know, metal aside, let's get to the more important things. How was the food?
The food was awesome.
So it's nothing like hospitals or airplanes. I mean, the quality of food on the ships. Huh? You don't feel that even though this is your first cruise, you don't feel like they skimped on the food or the amenities or anything like that because it was a metal cruise.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, just everything about it was great. The food was great. Even you had a maid service staff that always made up your room just like a hotel. And the staff on the ship couldn't have been friendlier. Plus, they were also enjoying themselves and having a good laugh at all the metalheads. Saw some of them watching some of the sets. So yeah, just everyone on board just had a great time.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder how many people were like, "What the hell am I doing on this ship? Why did I sign up for this?" Because again, you're stuck. I mean, it's not like you can get away from any of this.
Right.
So there are every band plays two sets. And a cruise ship is pretty big, and with 40 bands and all doing two sets, I mean, you've got to be able to work this in. So logistically, how did they make this happen? I mean, how many stages were there throughout the ship where bands were playing?
There were three total stages throughout the ship. You had two inside, one being the what was known as the Chorus Line Theater. That was that had entrances from the seventh deck and the fifth deck because there was a balcony level. It's basically kind of like a big theater. There were seats. There was a balcony with seats, but there's also a big floor area right in front of the stage for standing room.
Okay.
And that was the main the main stage inside.
Right.
And then the second indoor stage was in a place just one level up on the eighth deck called the Spectrum Lounge. And that was kind of more like a club setting, much smaller stage, more intimate. Still seats there as well. And also a standing room, much smaller scale. And then the third stage was actually on the top deck outside, basically the pool deck. From what I could tell, it was at one end you had the swimming pool that had water. You could go swimming. There were two jacuzzis, but then it looked like there was another area for a pool. But what they had done was that one wasn't filled with water, and they put boards across it, basically kind of like a floor area, standing room for the audience, and then at that end had built up a stage. So there was a stage outside on the top deck.
Wow. Wow, that sounds awesome, man. It's 11 p.m. This is Black Knight Meditations on WSCA LP Portsmouth. And I'm talking with Matt Bauer, who was on the 70,000 tons of metal cruise. And he sucks for that because I wasn't there. Okay, so three stages. There was one that has like a club vibe, one that has a theater vibe, and then one outdoors. I would imagine that they put some of the bigger bands in the theater setting, like say a Blind Guardian or a Testament, and then some of the lesser known bands, I guess, in a club setting. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, because all the bands played two sets, most of them played on different stages. Like, for instance, Death Angel, actually their first set, which I didn't see, was on the small stage on the Spectrum Lounge, but then their second set on the final day was on the pool deck on the bigger stage. But Blind Guardian and Saxon, I guess you could call them the headliners, because both of their sets were in the big indoor stage inside the Chorus Line Theater, and each set was supposed to be an hour and a half. Actually, the first set from Blind Guardian got cut short to an hour because there was a delay getting started with everybody on that first night. So some of the sets got cut a little bit short, but their second set was an hour and a half, and both Saxon sets were an hour and a half.
Cool. So for all three of the locations of the bands playing, was moshing allowed?
There was nothing that I was ever made aware that there was no moshing, or that they said, you know, don't mosh. Nothing discouraging it, kind of unlike at Vakken last year, surprisingly. But it seemed to be permitted. It definitely went on, and even on the pool deck, which was kind of interesting because one night it was raining, so it got kind of slick, but didn't stop people.
Well, I can imagine it wouldn't. and so what was security like? Was it just the typical presence of crew staff? Did they bring in special security for it? What was that like?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was like a separate company or separate staff. I mean, the crew staff, for the most part, you know, they would cater to your rooms, or you'd see them in the dining hall and you'd pass them in the hallways and things. As for at the shows, from what I noticed, there were barricades set up right in front of the stages, and then you had, you know, however many, you know, a few, I guess you'd call them security guards, or just, you know, bouncers, or, you know, just kind of people standing on the other side of the barricade just to, you know, keep an eye on crowd surfers or, you know, anything like that. But from what I saw, nothing ever got out of hand. They really didn't have to do much. From what I saw, mostly they just kind of stood there and kind of got to listen to the sets.
Cool. So as you could tell, as far as you could tell, there were no problems as far as, you know, riots, things like that. It was, all right. That's good to know that, you know, that the metal unity, the metal brotherhood was there. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the bands that you saw, because, geez, man, you saw a ton of freaking bands. I mean, there are a lot of metalheads that will never see this large number of bands in their entire lives, and you saw them in a span of a week. Let me run through the list here. Agent Steel, these are the bands that you saw. Agent Steel, Arsis, Blackguard, Blind Guardian, Circle to Circle, Crypper, Dark Tranquility, Death Angel, Destruction, Dusk Machine, Inciferum, Exodus Ventrell, Forbidden, Gamma Ray, Iced Earth, Corpiclani, Moonspell, Nevermore, Rage, Sabaton, Sanctuary, Saxon, Sodom, Sonata Arctica, Swashbuckle, Testament, Trouble, Twilight of the Gods, Tear, Uli John Roth, Unleashed, Witchburner. Good God, man. Jeez. Oh,
yeah,
man.
And there were more I would have seen, but you gotta take some breaks, you know, head back to the room, get some rest.
Oh yeah, what a total loss it was. You didn't see a couple of bands. go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say the way the schedule works, when they did the full days of music, which were Tuesday and Thursday, it started at 10 a.m. and went nonstop until 4 a.m. So if wow. you were, you know, getting your money's worth and seeing as many bands as you wanted to and as possible, you got to find those areas to take breaks, you know, to grab food and it was nice, you know, because you had your cabin, you know, right there. You could head right, you know, back there. You could drop merch off, you know, a nice safe place. And, you know, if you wanted to, you know, grab some shut eye and, you know, get ready, re-energize for the next, you know, string of shows or, you know, whatever it is you're doing. So.
And let's talk about some of the bands you saw specifically. First of all, what was the band that impressed you the most, where you're like, holy crap, I can't believe how awesome they were?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I'd never seen Death Angel, so I definitely wanted to see them. And like I said, I caught their second set, and they just have an amazing amount of energy, which I had heard from people that had seen them, but, you know, never having experienced it. So I, you know, got to witness that firsthand on the pool deck. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon. So that was a really good set. One of my favorites was, two of my favorites, definitely Sodom. Again, I'd never seen them, had been looking forward to seeing them for so long. And between the two sets that they played everything I wanted to hear. They did Saws the Law. They did Agent Orange, Remember the Fallen, of course, Auskabant. I think they did a couple songs off the new album. I know they opened with In War and Pieces. They did. I get to hear Napalm in the Morning, N16. So, I mean, I couldn't be, you know, happier. Their first set alone, they had played everything that I wanted to hear except for Napalm in the Morning. And on the second set, which looked like it was going to be a similar set list, right when they hit the third song, they threw in Napalm in the Morning. So I was like, okay, you can play whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen Sodom live. I'd love to. I mean, that would be killer to see them. Any chance, do you remember if they played Buried in the Justice Ground?
No, I remember them. I think the only song that, at least I can remember, that they played off the self-titled record was City of God.
Oh, okay. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. I mean, just seeing Sodom live would be killer. Okay, before we get into other bands, what band disappointed you the most? Or did any bands disappoint you at all?
Not that I can't really say that any bands disappointed me. I suppose the closest thing, and I mean, this is just nitpicking, was Twilight of the Gods. And not that they were bad. I was just expecting so much and feeling like, this is as close as I'm going to get to see, Bathory material live. Mm-hmm. And they were good. I think I was just expecting more. But, I mean, I guess that's the closest thing I could say to, I wouldn't call it a disappointment, but maybe just my expectations were really high for that. They still delivered, but I guess I expected more. But, they were still good.
When you say that, I mean, are you saying that basically what you got were just four guys playing Bathory songs and that you were expecting a show? Or, I mean, because when you've got Alan from Primordial and fronting the band, Primordial has that kind of presence that they put on a hell of a show, of course, but even musically, just listening to them, it's so overwhelming. And so you're saying you didn't really feel that vibe with Twilight of the Gods, that it was literally just four guys playing Bathory tunes, and that's pretty much all it was?
Yeah, I guess kind of. Like, I mean, I guess that would be a kind of the vibe that I guess that I was expecting wasn't exactly there. And the show that I saw them do, which I suppose would probably lend more to the vibe, was on the smaller stage in the Spectrum Lounge, kind of later at night. Their second set, which I didn't catch, was on the pool deck during the day. So I would definitely think, that would be, a vibe not quite fitting Bathory. But, I just remember after seeing it, I remember thinking, they were good, but I guess, not exactly what I was expecting, but
yeah.
Again, it's a rare opportunity, to see something like that. And I was still glad I was able to.
Yeah, Quorthon and Cruise ship, I guess. Okay,
yeah, and they did play A Fine Day to Die, which
How could they not play A Fine Day to Die?
Great song.
I got to admit, there are a couple of bands that you saw that are on this cruise that I don't think I've actually even heard of, much less listened to. Cripper.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know them.
I had the same reaction. I hadn't heard of them until this cruise. And what a lot of the bands did prior to the cruise, they had set up just short little promo videos, saying, we're going to be on the, 70,000 tons of metal from January 24th to 28th, come join us. And for Cripper's promo video, they played some of they showed some live footage, so you got to hear some clips, and it sounded really good. So I checked them out. They're pretty much like Death Thrash, kind of similar to Legion of the Damned. They're from Germany. They have a female singer. And I think it was a six-piece. But, yeah, they were really good.
Okay. Speaking of Thresh, how was Destruction?
Yeah, Destruction was awesome. To me, it seemed like both of their sets, it didn't seem like there was any variation. I think they pretty much played the same songs. I'm not sure why, but both sets only ended up being 45 minutes. But, I mean, still, Schmier, Mike, and... I don't know the name of the drummer because they got a new guy recently.
Oh, the new guy, right.
Yep, but they did put on a great show. They played one new song from the upcoming album called Hate Is My Fuel, which was really good, so I'm looking forward to the new album.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I think that might be the single off the record.
Yeah.
Another band I'm not familiar with is Dusk Machine.
Yeah, Dusk Machine, I guess, was kind of like a super group. The promoters were keeping it kind of mysterious when they were announcing bands. They had said that the way that they announced bands, they kind of, it was like they had a cruise ship and it was going all over the world, and it would say, we stopped over by, Sweden and picked up Dark Tranquility, something along those lines. Mm. And so for Dusk Machine, they were keeping it this mysterious kind of super project from Canada. So people started speculating, oh, is it Devin Townsend? And it ended up, I guess there's a couple of the members used to be in Annihilator, but I don't remember any of the names, but they were kind of, their style was power metal. And again, I hadn't heard of them before this either, but they were pretty good. And their second set, which I didn't happen to catch, was actually the last show of the entire thing. They were on at 3:15 in the morning on I guess, technically Friday morning.
Wow.
To close out the whole thing, so.
All right, how was Witchburner?
Yeah, Witchburner was really good. I had heard of them. I didn't know much about them before this. Definitely wanted to see them. Caught them in the Spectrum Lounge. They kind of reminded me a little bit of Skeleton Witch, but some friends of mine that said they, you know, they're definitely heavier than them. But yeah, I was definitely pleased with them, and I was right up front for that one, right on the barricade, which in the Spectrum Lounge, I mean, you're practically on stage, so that was really cool.
Oh, cool. I would have loved to have seen them. And what about Agent Steel?
Yeah, Agent Steel, another band I definitely wanted to see. I caught them on the pool deck. Interesting thing about them that I didn't sort of learn this until after the cruise, but I could tell something was up. As you're watching their performance, the singers, you could see they were holding a sheet of paper, which you basically figured out was a lyric sheet. They would kind of look at it as they're singing. They're like, oh, you know, what's the deal? They forget the lyrics. Well, what ended up happening was the original singer, John, I believe, and I don't know why, he couldn't make it, and it was kind of a last-minute thing, and the band was talking about, well, you know, should we cancel it? And they ended up getting the singer from Hellstar as well as another singer to fill in really last minute. So they had lyric sheets with them.
But so they got James Rivera to fill in. So James Rivera, yep. James Rivera was covering for John Cyrus. All right, no, they suitable replacement. If you can't have John Cyrus, who really technically is the voice of Agent Steel, I guess James Rivera is a pretty damn good fill-in, yeah. No doubt about that. Awesome. I they're a band, Agent Steel, I would love to see live, especially to hear that old stuff. You know, stuff off of Skeptic's Apocalypse, the Mad Locust Rising EP. Man, I'd kill to see that.
I know they closed the show with Mad Locust Rising, and I'm pretty sure they played the Priest cover, The Ripper.
Oh yeah, their Priest cover's awesome. Awesome, yeah. Awesome. You know what I'm really interested in is the overall vibe of the metalheads on the ship. I mean, how was it in relation to how people usually get along when going to a concert at, let's say, a theater or a club? I mean, were you able to tell if people were, I guess, mingling with the people they didn't know more, or did they just stick to the people they came with? Did you get a sense of if the crew setting changed how people interact?
Yeah, I'd say for the most part, at least from what I observed, pretty much people just mingled with everybody, made new friends. I surprisingly actually found and met someone on board, someone else from Rhode Island, which I never thought would be the case. But and that happened just waiting for outside the merch room, waiting for that to open up. But actually, one of my friends that was in the cabin with us, he had gone down a day early. On Saturday, pretty much, or I guess a lot of people showed up on Saturday, but they recommended showing up on Sunday just so you can, get a hotel and be able to get to port on time the next day and everything, because we departed on Monday. But he went down a couple days early, and he had said when he got down there, he thought we might be the only Americans on board, because he met people from, I mean, he must have listed six or seven different countries, mostly European, but from what I heard, there was 48 countries represented on the cruise. I mean, just people from all over the world came out for this.
Well, I think it's pretty awesome that the United States finally got something, basically a festival, and something that Europe doesn't get as far as I'm aware. I mean, maybe there is a European metal cruise, I don't know, but it's great that the States got it, even if it's technically not in the United States once it's, sails into international waters, but damn, that's awesome, man. I am so friggin' jealous. So you're saying that the overall vibe amongst the metalheads was a little more interactive, for lack of a better term, than at a typical show?
Yeah, probably. I mean, everyone's just, having a great time. And I mean, not only even just between the fans, but because everyone's, like you said, you're on the ship, you can't really get away, everyone's there. You run into band members left and right. I mean,
That was where I was going next.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, there were so many and so many opportunities for interaction with bands. Now, the promoters had set up official meet and greet times, but it was kind of on the final night. I was passing one of my friends from the cabin, and he had said, he's like, yeah, that's why I didn't sign up for any of the meet and greets, because you can pretty much just meet and greet most of the band members just, anytime, just bumping into them, or, they're just right there with you. So, but one of the things, in addition to all that, there was a special activity set up too for certain bands. Like, I know Uli Jonroth was doing a Sky Guitar Academy and different things going on, and Sabaton on the final night decided they were going to have a table hockey tournament and invited everyone to play against them, And it was kind of funny because they said, you know, everybody except the Canadians, you're already too good at hockey. You know, we don't want to play you. But from 8 o'clock to midnight, they invited whoever wanted to meet them in one of the lounges. It's called the Boleros Lounge. That was actually where they had karaoke going on as well, and a bar set up and everything. And they had these little table hockey games set up, and you would play first one to three would win. And if you could score a goal on them, they would give you a free CD single of Coat of Arms from the new album. And from what I heard and from what I saw, not too many people could beat them. Sabaton is quite good at table hockey, but I was lucky enough to be one of the ones to get in on a game. I played the keyboardist. He beat me in short order, but you know, still fun. And for me, it was that Thursday, which was the final day of the cruise, that was actually my birthday. So.
Well, interesting that now when you think metal, you need to think cruises, and you need to think table tennis, I guess. that's bizarre. So you say you did get a pretty good feel for a lot of the band members just sort of taking part in the cruise, basically being like somebody, not just happened to be in a band, but also enjoying the cruise just like all the metalheads.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, for me, I felt like this is when the cruise started. We had three of us had gone to the room to drop our stuff off, and right when we first got on the ship, and my other friend had gone straight to the dining hall to get food, and so we're dropping our stuff off, and I get a text from him, and it says Kai Hansen really likes tacos. So I'm like, all right, that's it. We're heading to the dining hall. We're on our way.
It's 19 minutes after the hour. This is Black Knight Meditations, and I'm talking with Matt Bauer, who was on the 70,000 tons of metal cruise recently. And wow, Kai Hansen likes tacos. You know, see, it helps to tune in to BNM because you learn crucial information like this. I mean, metalheads need to know if Kai Hansen likes tacos. Oh man, how was Moonspell? And I ask because, you know, they haven't put out a record in a couple of years, and I'm just wondering if maybe they're sort of ramping up to maybe start playing live again. Did Moonspell do anything new?
Well, I only saw the first set of Moonspell, and originally I was planning on skipping that one and catching the second one, but it was kind of a blessing in disguise because it turns out what they did for their first set was they played Wolf's Heart, the entire album.
Oh, nice.
So and they were phenomenal. I really only own Memorial by them, and after that set, I was like, okay, I have to get more Moonspell CD.
Oh yes, yeah, definitely get. Obviously, Wolfheart, Irreligious, I think is probably my favorite. I'd also say, yeah, Memorial's obviously fantastic. Night Eternal, their latest one, is awesome too. Was there any sort of vibe that you could pick up amongst the metalheads of the most anticipated band of the cruise? Like, was there that one band that everybody was buzzing about, or did you not pick up on that?
I didn't really pick up on that, but I know that some of the bands, and they had announced this prior to the cruise, were doing special sets. Like, Saxon, for one of their sets, they did the Wheels of Steel album in its entirety. For their second set, they did Strong Arm of the Law, although it wasn't in order. It was kind of funny. They had done about the first three songs, and Biff said, oh, you know, we're about halfway through the album, you know, three songs, so we're going to give you a few more current tunes, and then we'll come back to it. Mm. So they ended up, they had played all the songs on the album, just not, you know, directly in order, but they did those two albums. Testament, their first set, they did all of the Legacy in order, and the second set, they did the New Order.
Awesome.
In its entirety. So those were a few of the special sets that had been announced beforehand.
What was the I don't know if there would be any sort of different vibe for the quote unquote outdoors set out on the ship. Like, say, if you're even in the daytime or at nighttime, was there a different kind of feeling for being out in the middle of the ocean on a cruise ship outside watching metal bands play? Did you feel anything different?
No, not too much. Definitely windier. Weather-wise, it was pretty nice the whole time. There was the night that we were leaving Cozumel and headed back to Miami. It rained a bit during Gamma Ray set, which was kind of a cool effect. I was kind of right in the center, right in front of it, and you could see the rain and the lights, so kind of, you know, created a cool vibe. But yeah, I didn't notice anything, too different from what being, you know, compared whether it's inside or outside. The one swashbuckle set I caught was on the pool deck, and they had their inflatable palm trees and everything. So they really fit the scene.
Good. Yeah, how could they not have that? And do they have the foam swords too? And
yep, the foam swords and the Jolly Roger flag on one of the amps.
I got to say that Swashbuckle, not being on the metal cruise, would kind of be out of place in my mind. They're such a fun band. I mean, seeing those guys live, it's just such a blast.
It was perfect because right when I got to the – I skipped breakfast to see them because I was running late. Right when I got – it was the middle of their set, and right when I got to the stage, they cruise ship Terror, so it was perfect.
Awesome. Let's see. Let's talk about Sanctuary because those guys are back together and actually going to record a new record, and they've done a couple of live shows. So it's not just let's get back together and do some live shows. They're actually going to put out some recorded material. What was Sanctuary's set like?
They were awesome. I hadn't really known much about them. I don't own any of their albums. I was actually looking for some the other day to pick up. Didn't find any, but definitely didn't want to miss them. They put on an excellent show. It was actually kind of three-fifths of the band was Nevermore. I mean, you had Warhol.
Right.
Loomis filled in on guitar, and Jim Shepherd was playing bass. But the really odd thing was Nevermore was also on the cruise, and I saw their second set, and I heard the same thing about their first set, and I don't know what it was, but Jim wasn't playing bass for Nevermore, even though he was there.
I'm thinking that Jim might have been a little busy. I'm guessing that he was at eating dinner. Yeah, that's what it was. My guess anyway. I'm looking forward to seeing Sanctuary. Not that I think I'm actually going to get to see them, but you say you don't own any Sanctuary. They only put out two studio records. The first one is fine, but the second one, Into the Mirror Black, get it. I mean, it's a must own. It is an absolute must own. You have to have that record. Were there any, you mentioned that some of the bands did special sets, like performing entire albums. Were there any other shocks or surprises or anything you were like, wow, I can't believe I just saw that, or I wasn't expecting anything surprising?
I guess I was surprised at the set list that Sodom did, just because they pretty much played everything that I'd wanted to hear. I was just happy to see them, but they opened their first set. It was fairly late. I think it was like 2:30 in the morning. They were on the pool deck, and they opened with the title cut from the new album, In War and Pieces. And then the second track, they went right into Sodomy and Lust. And I knew it was going to be a special set because they usually save that, for toward the end of a show, and just really mixed it up. Just trying to, take it all in and process it, just to see that many bands and just to have the opportunity to be there. And, it still kind of, doesn't hit you. I was talking to a friend of mine, like, the day after we had, gotten off the boat and we're back, and said, he woke up that morning and was like, was that all a dream? Like, did that really just happen?
And this is coming from somebody who's been to Wacken several times, and you're no stranger to doing the Metal Fest thing, but I guess nothing really can compare to a metal cruise for almost a week and all these freaking bands. I mean, and looking at all the bands you saw, I can't think of any band where I would say, no, I don't want to see them. I mean, some bands I don't like as much as others, but I could see any of these bands. I mean, hell, even the couple that I don't know. I mean, now that I know who's in Dusk Machine, Randy Black is in Primal Fear. A couple of the guys used to be in Annihilator, like Russell on bass and Joe Camo on vocals, who also used to be in Overkill. I mean, these are, even the bands I'm not familiar with, I'd still want to see. I got to ask about Trouble, being one of the older bands on the ship. How was their set?
They were good. I only caught part of it. That was one of those ones where I was kind of, if I've got time, if I can work it in, I'll definitely. I wanted to catch some of them because they played Wacken one of the years I was there, and I completely missed them. So I only caught a few songs, but and they were on the main stage inside, not nearly as packed and crowded as some of the other acts that played there, but definitely good set. Well worth checking out.
Well, I should ask you that since the cruise actually did go somewhere, it just didn't, sail off into the ocean and then go back. It actually went to Cozumel. Did you go to Cozumel? Did you do anything in Mexico? Did you stay on the ship? Did you see that most metalheads went to Cozumel, or was most people just focused on the metal and stayed on the ship? How was that?
Yeah, because if it worked, we left Monday, and we were at sea Monday night, all day Tuesday night, and then we got to Cozumel, got to port Wednesday morning, and then, and now you could either do this right when you got off the ship, or you could do it prior, and me and a few friends had done this prior. There were different excursion packages that you could choose from, added cost, but different things, I mean, they had 66 different things you could choose from, anything from, you know, just lounging at the beach. One of the popular ones was the Tulum Ruins, which is kind of like a Mayan temple, a tour of that. You could swim with dolphins. You could go snorkeling, parasailing. The one that we ended up doing, that I ended up doing, was called X-Rails to Jade Caverns, which is basically you kind of drive these go-karts through the jungle on kind of a guided tour to this cavern, which... It's essentially like a bat cave. There's bats everywhere. There's green water. That's why they call it the Jade Caverns, I guess from the minerals and the sulfur. And, you know, if you had your bathing suit and towel, you'd go swimming in there. And even beforehand, there's some wildlife that you kind of get to, you know, there's a baby alligator, a monitor lizard, and some different birds that the people promoting the excursion, they'll take your photo with each of the animals. And even as you're driving through the jungle and doing, you know, these, seeing these different things and stops on the way, they're taking your picture. And, you know, if you want to purchase them at the end, you know, they've got them all made up for you. They can make a CD for you. So that was really interesting. That was fun. And like, it was just, and if you didn't want to do any excursions or anything like that, you could, you know, you still come off the ship, you know, walk around the shopping center right there in Cozumel. I saw some of the band members just relaxing, hanging out there, kind of in the shopping center there, the area. Some people, I think, I know, stayed on the ship. Some of the excursions were different lengths. Ours was kind of just in the morning, and then we spent some time in the shopping center and then got back on the ship and caught up on sleep because that was in short supply. But
I can imagine. Did you find for yourself that you kind of needed a break from the metal? Because, you know, when you go to Vakken, that's a few days. But it sounds like this, I mean, it's even more so than Vakken, I would imagine. You're more surrounded by metal. And for a longer time, did you feel that you needed a break from the metal? I mean, aside from the fact that you wanted to go sightseeing and do the excursion, but did you feel that you needed a break from the metal?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a nice way to kind of break it up. Because like I said, for about, you know, a day and a half, prior, that's all you're doing. You're just going from stage to stage, you know, seeing bands. I mean, there's also a ton of stuff to do on the ship, even aside from just seeing the bands. There was a casino on board. Like I said, they had a swimming pool. There was a spa area. There was an arcade. There's a basketball court. Then just kind of like a shopping center mall area on the cruise. I mean, just all kinds of things to do. So, you know, whenever you did need to kind of take a break from the metal and, you know, from the shows, there were other things you could do. But it was definitely nice to, you know, get off the boat, you know, check out Cozumel. You know, great place, really friendly people. We had nice weather the day we were there. So definitely a nice way to break it up.
Were any bands scheduled during when you were reported in Cozumel? Did they schedule any bands to perform during that time, or did they not do that?
Nope. The bands were pretty much on vacation too. And one of my friends, he was actually he had a media pass, and they said as far as interviews, there was nothing really official set up with band members. They said, you know, if you wanted to interview band members, just, you know, go up to them and, you know, ask for an interview, ask them, you know, very impromptu, you know, to see what works best for them. But nothing was really scheduled on Wednesday during the day. That was just time for everyone to just relax, do what they want, you know, get off the boat, you know, check things out. And then when we got back on the boat and left port at 6:30 in the evening, set sail again, then the music started up again on the boat.
Mm. I just had a thought. You were on a cruise ship. You saw a swashbuckle set. Did they happen to do that "I'm on a boat" intro to their set?
I missed the beginning of their set, so I'm not sure.
I don't know if you've ever heard that song "I'm on a Boat,"
yeah.
but Swashbuckle has used that as their intro music. Yeah, I feel that'd be very appropriate. Actually, for any of the bands, I guess you could say that for. So I want to ask you about a couple of other bands. Let's see, we talked about a good amount of the bands. And you mentioned there was no real band that disappointed. You also said there was no rule against moshing, so I would imagine it would be pretty much like at any other show. So when you were watching Exodus, I mean, were there circle pits everywhere and people going crazy?
Yeah, the first time I saw Exodus, that was actually, they were the first band of the first night, and they were part of the victims of the delay. So we were in line to see Exodus. They hadn't opened the theater yet, the doors yet. We weren't letting people in, so we said enough of this, and we went up to the Spectrum Lounge and called Arsis. And then after Arsis set, we headed back down, and then Exodus was on. So for their first set, I was in the balcony on the left side up top, really mainly just kind of saw them on stage, got a few photos. It looked like the place was packed. I'm sure a lot of people there were there for them. Their second set on the pool deck, I was much closer to the stage, and there were a few times, Rob was kind of complaining, that the crowd wasn't doing enough in terms of moshing and stuff. And, someone's like, oh, it's slick. Like, and he's like, oh, that sounds like an excuse. But, they still moshed on the pool deck. And the second set was definitely, I was there for the full one. Definitely great set. Mixed up the set list, old and new. So
awesome. And how about Dark Tranquillity? They're a band that I like less and less as each album is released. Not necessarily that they're bad, but their albums just haven't really done it for me for quite a while. Mm-hmm. When I saw them live about 4 years ago, they're pretty damn good live. How was their set?
Yeah, they were good. Their first set was on the pool deck at night. I tended to prefer their second set. Not so much because I don't like the new stuff. I'm just not as familiar with it, even though I have the newer albums. And the first set was heavy on new material. They threw in the Trees and Wall and, some older ones. But in the second set, I feel like they played kind of more older stuff. They did, in that set, they did The Wonders at Your Feet, which is one of my favorite songs by them. So, and the second one, I only caught the second half of it because I think Sabaton was on before them. So,
of the thinking of all three stages, what was the sound quality like? I mean, were the mixes good? Did it sound like you were just on a cruise ship? I don't know what that really means, but I mean, did it sound like you were at a typical metal show in a theater, or did it have a completely different sound? Because, going to a metal show, a bad mix can kill the show. I mean, it can kill the vibe. I mean, up here in New England, you get a lot of venues with crappy sound. Yep. But how was it on the ship?
Yeah, in that respect, I would say it's not like at the venues, because the sound quality was great from everything that I saw. Probably half the shows or so that I saw, I was really close, right up on the barricade. Probably not the smartest idea to be right in front of the speaker, but I noticed even in the main theater, being kind of toward the back and sitting down, it was still extremely loud. So sound quality was good. It was loud, but it wasn't distorted or anything like that. I noticed during the beginning of Dark Tranquillity's first set, there was an issue with the microphone. You couldn't hear Michael's vocals for about half the song. You couldn't get the microphone working, and I noticed a few kind of minor sound issues on the pool deck stage. I don't recall anything with the other two indoor stages, but I know they had a few problems with the pool deck, but nothing major. They were able to get corrected fairly soon. So, but yeah, quality wise, it was very good.
Awesome. I want to ask you about two more bands. How was Unleashed? They're one of my favorites.
Yeah, Unleashed again. Kind of when I was talking about Agent Steel, this is what I was told. I don't know if it's for sure, but I know that Johnny wasn't there. And yeah,
and they still played. Wow.
From what I was told, I guess he just had a kid, and if they're 6 months or younger, I guess they're not allowed on the ship. So I suppose that's why he wasn't there. But again, instead of just kind of throwing away the set and skipping it, Unleashed still they played their set. Don't know his name, but the bassist, he did a lot of the vocals. But then they also had some guest vocals, like they had Alan from Primordial. He guested on several songs, and
cool.
They even brought Admiral Nobeer did The Long Ships Are Coming.
Oh, awesome. That's
so
great.
Yeah, it was really cool. It's kind of a special thing.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, it's kind of weird seeing Unleashed without Johnny. I mean, not just because he's a bass player. I mean, he is Unleashed to me.
That was the first thing I noticed. I'm looking at the guy who's playing bass and singing, and I'm like, that really doesn't look like Johnny. Like, where is he? But, yeah, they still put on a good set, especially for being a member short.
Oh man, but just now, it's like as if I wasn't jealous enough that I wasn't there. But seeing Alan performing with Unleashed, I mean, come on, Alan from Primordial with Unleashed, how amazing would that? Oh damn, man, you just keep rubbing in, dude. how about Incifrom? How were they?
They were good too. I'd only seen them, I think, once before, which was when they were touring with Amon Amarth. Up at the Palladium, which sad to say, the sound quality was just horrid. Half the songs, I couldn't recognize what they were playing. You know, it was kind of a letdown because I was really looking forward to them. And seeing them here, they were on the main stage inside. Great sound quality, recognized all the songs. You know, they were great. And it was actually kind of a funny moment in the show. Someone had an inflatable sheep that they were tossing around, you know, during in the crowd during the set, and
inflatable
threw it up on
sheep.
Stage. And at one point, the bassist grabbed it and said, "Hold on, 5 minutes. Technical difficulties with the bass," and went off in the corner. And you know, I'll leave the rest to your imagination with the sheep. And then Petri was like, "Okay, we're going to do the next song without the bassist."
Oh wow! I mean, I know the Finnish drink a lot, but Jesus. I mean, you mentioned inflatable sheep. I'm like, what was a Pink Floyd cover band there playing the Animals album? But then, I mean, it's going off the stage with it. See, this is why people shouldn't drink. wow. Well, that's crazy, man. You know, I guess you need a little humor while you're on the ship.
Yeah.
But to wrap this up, we talked about a lot of the bands. We talked about, you know, sound quality and moshing and security and going into Cozumel. And the fact that when you pay for your ticket, that covers your food, your basic drinks. There are other things you get to do on the ship. What was it like when you guys realized, okay, this is a final day, we're going to be in Miami soon? Were you feeling like finally it's going to be over, or you're like, man, I don't want this to end? I mean, because again, you're on a ship for several days, surrounded by metal constantly. Did you not want it to end, or were you ready to go home?
Yeah, I guess for me it was kind of half and half. I mean, there was definitely a part of me that was going to be, you know, glad to kind of, you know, get the land legs back and, you know, actually get a full night's rest, really, was what I was looking forward to. But then, obviously, there's that part of you that's just, I mean, this is so amazing, such a unique opportunity, you don't want it to end. I know a lot of the bands didn't want it to end and kept saying so on the stage. And even though music stopped at 4 a.m., the band stopped performing in that Bolero's Lounge. You had karaoke going on until about 6:30. And one thing I do have to mention about karaoke, I walked through that lounge several times, and I know on a couple occasions the karaoke was like, you know, Motown or oldies. And definitely one time I was walking through, Tom Hunting from Exodus was singing Just My Imagination.
Awesome. That's got to show up on YouTube. I mean, I've already seen a couple of the guys doing karaoke that's online. Bootsman Collins from Swashbuckle is doing an old tune.
So
some of that has shown up. Tom Hunting doing – oh, wow. Yeah, more of this stuff has got to show up. Hey, did you take any video or just pictures?
No, just pictures.
Okay.
I did get a picture of that, though, because I'm like, that is so unique. I got to capture
it. Kind of bizarre, but kind of cool at the same time. Hey, it's a cruise ship. What the hell? You know, not too many people go on cruises, so I guess this is the one opportunity where metal bands can, you know, not be constrained by the so-called, you know, metal ethic of what's proper and not proper, and what the hell, sing Mac the Knife or sing Just My Imagination, what the hell.
there was another one. It was, and Tom Hunting must have loved karaoke because he was in there a lot, and it was him, Rob Kefestini from Death Angel, and Alex Skolnick, and they were singing the Eagles.
Yikes. Well, I think he just likes people to buy him drinks. I mean, he told me that himself. He said he likes talking to the fans, but you know, he also likes the fact that the fans buy him drinks. So maybe that had something to do with it, or maybe that sheep was there. All right, so before I let you go, I want to recap. You were on the 70,000 tons of metal cruise. It was 5 days, sailed from Miami, went to Cozumel in Mexico, then went back to Miami. There were approximately four dozen or so bands, about 40-plus bands. You saw Agent Steel, Arsis, Blackguard, Blind Guardian, Circle to Circle, Crypper, Dark Tranquility, Death Angel, Destruction, Dusk Machine, and Incifrom. Exodus, Ventrol, Forbidden, Gamma Ray, Iced Earth, Corpiclawny, Moonspell, Nevermore, Rage, Sabaton, Sanctuary, Saxon, Sodom, Sonata Arctica, Swashbuckle, Testament, Trouble, Twilight of the Gods, Tyr, Uli John Roth, Unleashed, and Witchburner. Not bad, dude. Totally worth your money. I mean, you know, when the cost is the number of the beast to go do this thing, I mean, geez, that's like the best investment ever. And I got to tell you, while Vakken is kind of like it's like the sacred metal gathering. If I do this, I'm okay with not going to Vakken.
Yep.
I mean, how do you feel? Do you feel like you've done this? Vakken is like it's secondary now, or do you feel this eclipses it?
It's kind of funny. As I was there, I was trying to decide. I was like, you know, is this better than Vakken? And I think I would say that it is, just in the sense that I mean, both are incredible experiences. And you know, if you have the means to do it, I highly recommend doing both. But with this, I felt like in terms of the quality of performances, I mean, it was just there were no duds. I mean, you had some special sets, and the other thing too is you have all these bands in one area. There was a lot of guests, you know, feature guest musicians and collaborations and different things going on. And so I just felt in terms of the quality of the performances. It was just superior all the way around. And the other thing is, you know, this is similar to Vakken, but I felt it was a little more convenient. Like I said, you've got your cabin. It's a safe place to store merchandise. You don't have to worry about it. You can run in between sets. You know, you can head back there. You know, I mean, it's kind of similar where you have your tent at Vakken. You know, I mean, I guess, you know, you can try to catch some sleep, you know, there too and head back to the camp. But, you know, a lot of times it might be further away than just your cabin. You know, it might be a few floors. You know, a few floors down or something, and also in terms of the cost, because I'm planning to go to Vakken again this summer. And from what I'm seeing on plane flights alone to Germany is probably about what this entire cruise trip, including hotel stay, food, merchandise, the cruise, the excursion, cost me. All inclusive. So,
dude, that puts it into perspective right there. That just pretty much explains everything.
Yep.
I mean, just the cost of airfare to get to Vakken. That amount covers the entire metal cruise. I mean, that's, wow. Yeah, I am thinking that I'm going to abandon the idea of going to Vakken and just do the metal cruise. Now, again, like I was telling you earlier, watch, they'll probably book a bunch of core bands now and, you know, real crap commercial non-metal bands. And I'm glad that at least there was one where it was just, you know, the true metal bands, you know, the Black and the Power and the Death and the Thrash. And some old school bands, you know, some older bands like Saxon, Uli John Roth was there, and the newer bands of today. So very cool. I mean, horns up to the guys who put this together, organizers. Man, I got to have them on the air just to thank them for doing it. Even though I wasn't there, I'm just glad somebody put this together.
And that's kind of the weird thing, because the whole time, I mean, it's like, you know, this kind of came out of, it felt like it kind of came out of nowhere. And it's, I mean, with Vakken, you kind of know who the founders are and who's behind it. I still really don't know who put this on or where it came from, you know, who to thank for it. Some of the bands were, you know, saying, you know, thank whoever's responsible for this. But I got the feeling, I was like, you know, who's responsible for this? Because, I mean, it's, from what I heard, it was 4 years in the making to get everything in line, get everything in order, you know, to put this thing together. But it was so successful, you know, one of the things I definitely wanted to add was, from what I heard, just in terms of Royal Caribbean set sales records, and from alcohol sales alone, from what I've heard, the first day alone outsold anything that any cruise has done, like full cruise has done before. They said this was the first time they had to restock on alcohol while in Mexico. So, I mean...
I'm not surprised. I must say, I'm not surprised at all.
So being the first run of something like this, which you know is quite an undertaking, you know, really unique. Aside from you know kind of slight delays on the first night, everything went off. I thought very well. It was well done. And it sounds like it was wildly successful. And I've also heard rumors they've already started booking bands for next year. So.
Awesome. I got to do this, man. I got to do this. You got to make sure that I go to this thing. I've got to be on this cruise.
Keep you posted. There's also some other rumors flying around. People at breakfast on the last day before you get off the boat that there's talk of possibly doing two cruise ships going to the same destination. And when you get to the destination, the bands on the ships switch, not the fans. And then on the way back, you get to see a whole another slew of bands.
Jeez.
And they're talking about Jamaica as a possible destination, and I forget what the other one was.
You know, honestly, who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Who cares where it goes? Just, yep. You know, I don't care. I don't care if it's Jamaica or Mexico, whatever. Just the bands, the metal, yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome.
They might have to call it 140,000 tons of metal.
Jeez. Good God. Matt Bauer, thank you very much. Wow. You've called in a couple times over the years to talk about your trip to Vaucan, but I think this one is just, it just goes beyond anything that Vaucan could offer. And very unique opportunity. The very first time this was done here. Sounds like you had a blast. I'm jealous as hell. Again, you suck. You will always suck for this because you were there and I wasn't. And just the number of bands that you saw and the fact that they were all awesome bands, too. Just absolutely amazing. Yep. So, Matt, for those who perhaps would like to get in touch with you to share stories, questions, comments, anything like that, how would somebody get in touch with you directly?
I can give my email is xbower205, that's X-B-O-W-E-R, 205 at AOL.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Matt Bauer. If you search on Facebook, and that would probably be the best way.
All right. And, well, you know, hopefully I met some new metalhead friends. And I would imagine you're looking forward to doing this 70,000 tons of metal cruise next year. Or, hey, maybe that rumored 140,000 tons. Hell, I would take the 20,000 tons cruise.
Yeah.
You know, just give me a small boat. I'm fine, you know. Just a few bands, and I'd be all set. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot for calling in. And, man, I'm jealous as hell. Sounds like a blast. And hopefully you'll be calling me up next year, and we can talk together about both of our experiences on the 70,000 tons of metal cruise. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, the last thing I'll say is anyone that wants information, it's 70,000tons.com is the official website.
Yeah, I'm going to go there just so I can see everybody else's comments, and maybe they'll post some links to video, and I'll just feel even worse about the fact that I didn't go. Oh, man. Awesome. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it. And you got to make sure that I do this next year for sure, man.
Yeah, I would definitely keep you posted and send you any info I find out.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Matt, and we'll talk soon. Appreciate your time.
All right.
So that's B&M's roving metal reporter, or in this case, B&M's floating metal reporter, Matt Bauer, calling in to talk about the 70,000 tons of metal cruise. I'm sure those of you who are really diehard into metal, you know full well about the metal cruise. This is something that has been promoted for quite a while now. I've talked about it a little bit. And you just heard Matt, what he had to say about it. It sounds like this was one of those things where if you miss going to all those European festivals or you want something to happen here in the United States, because we really don't have a metal festival in the United States. I mean, there are some heavy music festivals in the United States, but real metal, straight up metal fests. You know, the closest thing we have are the Maryland Death Fest and maybe Prog Power down south. So you got a couple of metal fests, but they're a little more concentrated toward one specific style. So when it comes to all the true genres of metal, you know, the power and the thrash and the traditional black and death, it sounds like this is where it's at. And man, they put together one hell of a festival. And usually something like festivals, they get put together initially, they start out small and they grow and grow and they grow. And I don't see how something like this could grow beyond what they did. I mean, the quality of the lineup, everything from newer bands to established bands to very well-known bands, just amazing. So 70,000 tons of metal cruise. I'm looking forward to it already next year.